From the Latin de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of June, 2022. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. Don Day will be here to take a look at the weather forecast. We'll get an update of crop conditions across Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota from the statisticians in those states. And we'll hear more about the agricultural energies today with Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services on this Tuesday. Edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, July corn for the day at $7.68 and a quarter, a penny lower. September at $7.29 and a half, down 1 and a quarter. And December corn, a quarter of a cent lower at $7.21 and a quarter. July beans, nine lower at $16.98 and a half. And November at $15.25 and a quarter, down 8 and a half cents a bushel. Bean meal down $4.10 for the day. The bean oil, $1.23 lower. Wheat futures, July soft red, $10.50 and a quarter. The settlement price down 20 and 3 quarters. In December, the July hard red at $11.42 and a quarter, down 19 and a half cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures were up 20 cents in the lead August. The feeders at 2 and a half cents lower at $171.30 in the August contract. And lean hogs, $103.55, down 85 cents. Crude oil today, $2.36 lower at $118.56. Diesel fuel at $4.24 and 7 cents, that's 6 and 9 tenths higher. And gasoline, the wholesale price, the RBOB at $3.98 and 9 tenths of a cent, down 4 and 2 and a half cents a gallon for the afternoon. Wayne Nelson now joins us from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Let's get right to it. What happened in the marketplace today? It looked like the volatility wasn't there as much. Why?
Well, I'll tell you what. We've got a big announcement coming tomorrow. We're thinking it's going to be 0.75%, and it's just really hanging over the markets as an idea, and it's a liquidation phase, a lot going on here because people are just confused on what's really going on and what's going to have to happen over this and whether it's going to be, it's not going to be the smooth landing that they were sort of hoping for, but a lot of disagreement what's going on. But, you know, the big thing still out there is the two W's, war and weather. And believe me, if you watch the weather forecast that I'm reading and whatever like that, it looks hot and dry in the U.S. and it looks wet up in the Canadian areas in the northern parts of North Dakota and like that, where they don't need any more moisture.
So the Federal Reserve due out tomorrow afternoon with that change potentially in the interest rates, which you mentioned. And then, of course, we have the war and the weather, and farmers are watching a crop that looks really good at this point. And yesterday's crop progress report said that was the case, too.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we're moving along. You know, we're a couple weeks late, but if you get, you know, we've had a lot of rain here over the last week or so, and basically it's just really, really miserable outside today, but it's corn growing weather. I mean, I think this corn is going to really grow this week with the moisture we got in the ground, the humidity and what's going on. But, you know, like I say, it's we do need to do a little catching up, but all in all, you know, the U.S. is looking pretty darn good.
Anything else that we need to pay attention to before I let you go for the day?
Well, I think that, you know, it is the full strawberry full moon, and we do see strange things happen during full moon phase, Todd.
Hey, thank you so much.
We'll see you.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. He joins us each and every Tuesday here on the Closing Market Report. You can pick it up anytime you'd like, by the way, on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Just click and play right from the website. There's a podcast page link there as well. And inside those players, you can subscribe to the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. That's the podcast page at willag.org. Or you can just search us out in your favorite podcast application, or even ask Alexa or Google to play the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress reports. It shows as of Sunday, really as of Monday morning, around the nation, 97% of the corn crop had been planted. The rolling five-year average, also 97%. Corn emerged at 88%. The five-year average is 89%. And the condition of the crop said to be 59% good, 13% excellent. Those numbers are down from last week at 61% good, and 12% excellent. 88% of the soybeans have now been planted around the nation. 88% is also the five-year average. 70% of that crop is up and growing. And 74% is the five-year average. The condition of the crop, 59% good, 11% excellent. There was no crop conditions rating for last week. Winter wheat headed at 86%, normally 90% on the five-year average. 10% of the crop has now been harvested. That's usually 12%, and that crop's still in really poor condition at 26% good and 5% excellent. It is up 1 percentage point from last week when it was 26% good and 4% excellent. Now here are the updates from the statisticians in Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Melissa Bond, statistical assistant for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. Fieldwork activities included cutting hay and grass, and less wind allowed more chemical applications. Topsoil moisture conditions rated 2% very short, 9% short, 79% adequate, and 10% surplus. Row crop planting was virtually complete. There were reports of recent weather issues making corn or soybean replant necessary for some producers. Corn emergence reached 95%, 1 week behind last year, but 1 day ahead of the five-year average. Corn condition rating remained 86% good to excellent. 97% of soybeans have been planted, 8 days behind last year, but 4 days ahead of the five-year average. 84% of soybeans have emerged, 1 week behind last year, but 2 days ahead of average. Iowa's soybean condition rated 82% good to excellent. Pasture condition rated 65% good to excellent. There was a report of an increase in the fly population affecting livestock. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is Mark Schleusener, Illinois State Statistician. Illinois farmers and ranchers had 5.4 days that were suitable for field work last week, and they used those days for harvesting wheat and hay, some planting, and for applying fertilizer and chemicals. Topsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 11 short, 85 adequate, and 3% surplus on Sunday. Temperatures averaged 69.1 degrees last week, and that was 1.4 degrees below normal. The average rainfall across the prairie state was just shy of 1 inch, and that was slightly above normal for this time of year. Northern and western parts of the state received more rainfall than southern and eastern areas. Wheat harvest has begun in Illinois. 3% of acres have been harvested compared to 9% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop was rated 8% very poor to poor, 22% fair, and 70% good to excellent. Soybean planting is now 94% finished. That compares to 87% for the five-year average. 88% of acres have emerged. The condition of the soybean crop is 3% of acres in poor condition, 21% fair, and 76% good to excellent. Moving on to corn, 96% of acres have emerged compared to 89% normally. The condition of the Illinois corn crop was rated 2% poor, 21% fair, and 77% good to excellent. In other crops, the first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 71% complete, and other hay harvest is 62% finished. Finally, pasture conditions were rated 3% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 76% good to excellent. I would like to thank all the people that responded to the Crop Progress and Condition Survey this week. We really appreciate your assistance in telling the story of Illinois agriculture. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with a weekly crop progress and condition report. Conditions allowed 5.5 days suitable for field work as small grain and soybean planting advanced and corn planting neared completion. Spraying and cutting hay were also major activities. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 0% very short, 4% short, 71% adequate, and 25% surplus. Corn planting reached 98% complete. Corn emergence was at 85%. That's 15 days behind last year and 8 days behind the 5-year average. Corn condition was 1% very poor, 3% poor, 38% fair, 49% good, and 9% excellent. Soybean planting reached 88% complete. Soybean emergence was at 62%. That's 18 days behind last year and 10 days behind the 5-year average. Soybean condition was 1% very poor, 2% poor, 36% fair, 54% good, and 7% excellent. Pasture condition was rated 2% very poor, 6% poor, 28% fair, 54% good, and 10% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation. It's a Tuesday. Let's check in with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's hot and very, very humid here and very, very hot here. Are conditions different in your part of the world, Don?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's been quite an amazing spring and now heading towards an early summer season. Lots of what we call weather whiplash, a lot of back and forth, 100-degree temperatures. And then a couple of days later, somebody got snowed on. So a lot of back and forth. And the folks probably have heard about the flooding up into Yellowstone National Park with quite a bit of very heavy precipitation in some parts of the Northern Rockies. But the high pressure ridge that is pushed into the Corn Belt Midwest was in the west this past weekend. But now that heat has expanded and moved into the central and eastern part of the country. And that's really going to be the focus of the heat as we go through the next 7 to 10 days.
That's a long time, or at least it feels like a long time at this time of year to have this kind of heat. And will the humidity stay with us all the way through, too?
It will. There's a very moist air mass in terms of just high relative humidity air that's going to be available to come up out of the Gulf of Mexico. And that's just going to make it hot, and it is going to make it humid. But along the edges of this high-pressure ridge, we are going to see some showers and thunderstorms developing, and this is going to be true this weekend and early next week. We're going to finally see some badly needed rains in parts of the desert states, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, western areas of Colorado. And that moisture will go clockwise around the high, which by this weekend is going to be centered somewhere over Missouri. And so along the northern, northeast, to northwestern edges, there's going to be some shower and thunderstorm activity, especially along Interstate 80, Nebraska into Iowa, I think Interstate 80, parts of Illinois as well. But right underneath that high is going to be a lot of heat and a lot of humidity, but probably not much rain. So that would be Oklahoma, a lot of Kansas, a lot of Texas.
Anything else that you've been watching that we ought to pay attention to?
Well, we're seeing the establishment of this summer pattern. And I think as we go and take a look here at the second half of June, for a lot of the U.S., it's going to be very, very warm. Now, whether or not it's going to continue into July is something that a lot of folks are watching. This high that's building here for the next couple of weeks, how it behaves and where it goes in July is going to really play a large role in what unfolds.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services now joins us on this Tuesday to take a look at the agricultural energies. He does that once a month. Hi, Steve. Thanks for being with us. We still have $120 a barrel crude oil, $5 or better cash prices at the gas pump across the nation. Do we suppose there's any relief at all coming up in this season? And if so, why would that happen?
Well, we have seen a lot of conflicting forces impacting the energy complex recently. And we've seen that in market moves. We saw this market break down to 117 just the other day, and it came back to 123.5 today. So there's a lot of volatility, and what you have is really a tug of war between the supply side and demand side. On the supply side, we have the invasion of Ukraine in the background, fears that sanctions will cut back on the availability of Russian oil to the world market, OPEC not producing as much as they said they would. And also even U.S. Production, it's gone up, but hasn't gone up as much. Yet you're still being impacted by the investment that we did not see take place a couple years ago. And you have a lot of production in the shale regions, which has declining rates of productivity, which has tended to not lead to maybe the production increases people would have liked to have seen here over the past year. Still, we are seeing production increases, although they are more modest than was expected. On the bearish side, you have seen certainly concerns develop over world growth, be it China, be it the U.S., and what's ahead for us is even more important in terms of whether we'll have a contraction in terms of economic growth or merely slowing down. The World Bank just came out with some of their forecasts earlier in the month. They did cut their forecast for global growth to 2.9% from January, which was 4.1%. And in April, they had 3.9%. So we're seeing growth forecasts come down as a reflection of what we're seeing in terms of monetary markets and interest rates that is impacting sentiment. Another factor has been China. I think there's a lot more uncertainty with respect to Chinese growth prospects than anywhere. And we've seen the COVID lockdowns affect their activity, but I think there's more at work there that maybe meets the eye. So those kinds of factors are kind of at work each day, you know, where we see the supply side take over on the petroleum complex, putting and coming under pressure in response to the demand concerns. Nat gas has also seen some substantial volatility, but to the downside. A fire at the Freeport LNG export complex has pushed close to 2 million cubic feet of gas back into the domestic market, whereby before it was being exported. So that is helping this market, and we've seen it have a pronounced impact on prices. We had over $9 nat gas prices, and today they're trading down towards $7.30. So, you know, this is a plus. On the crude side, we're probably talking negative in terms of, you know, price levels going higher. Another factor in terms of the nat gas to remember is it is a key thing for drying corn and also for the manufacture of fertilizer. So the additional supplies, which typically were being exported to Europe and Japan and even China, won't be able to go out of this country. And we'll stay in here easing some of those price pressures. The product markets have been pretty interesting, as you noted, in terms of the high gasoline prices and diesel prices, even more so. The gas crack, which reached over $61, and that's the profit margin that a refiner makes from diesel prices to the crude, and that's in dollars per barrel, reached 61 and now is down to 48. So there is some easing in terms of some of the support that we saw to gasoline here that wasn't apparent maybe a week ago. So things are changing rapidly. Diesel cracks, though, have also been quite strong. They reached a record high just last week near 66 and are holding around 63. Freight is still moving. In addition, as a diesel You do use it in jets and things like that. The heightened activity in terms of air transportation, that's kept things quite tight. So overall, the volatility probably is here to stay. One thing to look at in terms of nat gas is taking advantage of some of the breaks, because this plant will come back on in maybe 3 and possibly 6 months. But for now, it does tend to ease some of the price pressures in that area, which has an impact throughout the economy because of electricity and things like that, which all relies upon this nat gas as a primary load. So some key things to watch certainly are the inventory levels. They come out each week from the U.S., but also we do get the IEA, International Energy Agency, kind of prospects. Another thing are certainly the pace of economic growth, pace of declines in discretionary income, potential, and I'm worried about credit squeezes, not here necessarily in the U.S., but overseas for some of the poorer countries, which are fighting these things day in, day out. You know, certain places like Sri Lanka don't even have enough money to buy diesel. So, you know, those are certainly things to consider and how it might disrupt the financial system. Russian availability to the world market, given the sanctions. And one thing still to be played out is the administration, Biden administration trip to the Mideast next month now. It was supposed to be at the end of this month, but was postponed to possibly talk to the Saudis, talk to the UAE at trying to use some of their spare capacity to meet some of the shortages, which they have not done here since this crisis evolved.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate all the good information. One note before I let you go on the natural gas, it may be of importance because those peaker plants, that's what they call them, usually run on natural gas to produce electricity, especially in times of high need, like the heat wave we're having now. Thank you so much, and we'll talk with you again in a month, Steve.
Thank you, Todd, and thank you, listeners.
That's Stephen Platt. He is with Archer Financial Services. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org, willag.org. And there right now, you'll find a link to County Fair. That's a brand new documentary produced here at Illinois Public Media. It's really good. You'll find that at willag.org, and you can watch it on YouTube. That's County Fair. On our website at willag.org, just look for the link. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written and performed by Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.